Thank you, and hopefully you are facing your giants with confidence because Christ is in your life. I encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 7 today. John chapter 7 is where I'm going to be speaking from. The title of the message on the front of the bulletin says this, dividing of understanding, but I'm going to give you another word, and here's the word, division. That's the word I'm going to use today is division. A few weeks back, we looked, and as we were in John chapter 6, several of you noticed, I pointed out in one of the services, in John chapter 6, verse 66, it says this, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And we see this as a dividing mark in the Gospel of John. Jesus gave some hard sayings, and he said, are you going to follow close to the Lord? And some turned away. Here in this chapter of chapter 7, we've seen Jesus' perfect timing. And we see Jesus going up to the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And as a reminder, this was a feast, one of the three feasts. And every male Jew was to go. It lasted 8 days. It was in September or October, very likely around October 15. And it was a feast that celebrated the harvest. And it was a great feast to attend. And people lived in tents. They lived in little booths. And it reminded them how God provided in the wilderness for 40 years. In all actuality, these booths were made of branches and fronds. And the roof had to be thatched. But the thatching had to be wide enough so they could be see through at night. So they could be reminded that what happened to their ancestors going through the wilderness. Many were at the feast, and they were wondering about Jesus. And I actually want to kind of work backwards a little bit in the text. Most of the time, Mark Butcher will tell you this because he's had homiletics, which is a preaching class. You're supposed to go right in order, but I'm going to kind of go backwards a little bit today. And I want you to look at verse 43, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to start at the beginning. But here's what it says in verse 43. So there was a division among the people over him. That's why the message is titled Division. There was a division among the people over him. I hope you hear me in this. Here's what I'm going to say. Jesus separates. Jesus divides. Let's look into the scripture and see what I'm saying here. And what the scripture, I think, has for us today. If you have a Bible, it's in John chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's on a chair rack, probably near you. 893 is the page that you can go to. Here's what it says, starting in verse 25. I'm going to read to verse 44, so I'm going to be reading for some time. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, is not this the man who they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, you know me, and you know where I come from. But I have not come from my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The first thing I want you to see is this. People were confused by Jesus. People were confused by Jesus. They had seen as many miracles. They had heard as many words. They had seen him heal people, but they had also seen him grow up. They knew his mom. They knew his dad, his earthly dad anyway. So they were confused of who he really was. Guess what? People are still perplexed by Jesus even in 2019. People are still confused. They were asking this question: is he a prophet? Is he the Christ? Who is this man? There was a popular idea that the Messiah would come out of nowhere, that nobody would know him, and all of a sudden, whoop, there he is. This isn't in my notes, but I thought of this earlier, and let me point this out to you as well. There's a thing in the Bible called the Antichrist. If you don't know much about the Antichrist, you need to study about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will rise up. The Antichrist could very well be in our world today. It's a truthful statement. He's just not going to pop up out of anywhere. It's going to be like Jesus was. He was around. He was from there. And the Antichrist will rise up to deceive many. Don't be deceived. Jesus claimed to be from somewhere else. Jesus claimed he was going somewhere. The people were confused. Maybe it sounds unusual to you, but people, even today, are still confused by Jesus. Let me test you a little further. I think some of you in this room have even been confused by Jesus. As Christians, as Christ followers, let me give you a for instance. If anyone does not hate one another and love me more, basically is what Jesus says, then he cannot be my disciple. What? He just told me I can't love my wife. That's confusing to me. I need to love my wife. That's an important thing. We all need to love our wives. What is Jesus saying? It's confusing. Let me give you another one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That's confusing. You're smart people. I think I'm pretty smart. My kids think I'm smart, don't you? That's confusing. I'm supposed to trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding? That's confusing to me. We can be confused as people. That's where our trust comes in. I don't think God is a confusing God. Please don't hear me say that. But sometimes we get confused on where he's leading, how he's going. They were confused. I believe people are confused that don't know Christ. They see you and they're confused by you. Why do you go to church on Sunday? That seems weird. Why do you give money to a church? That seems even... Do you know what you could do with that money? If you didn't tithe it to the Lord, I mean, you could buy all kinds of stuff. You could go on vacations. They get confused of why you don't join into gossip or backbiting or slander, or when there's a crude joke going, you're like, you know, we probably should. They're confused by that. Why would you do that? Why are people who don't know Christ confused? I think maybe there's a couple of reasons. Maybe you've thought of some. Why would some who don't know Christ be confused? They've been brought up in a way that don't believe, and so they're confused. They won't allow themselves to listen and open themselves to the possibility of Christ. Jesus asked for a lot, and they don't know how to respond. Jesus died on the cross for my sins? Well, I'm not a sinful person. That's What does that mean? Confusing. People were confused by Jesus. Second thing I want you to see is this. They talked of arresting and or killing Jesus. They talked of arresting and killing Jesus. Why were they wanting to arrest him? Because of his claims. He was claiming to be the Son of God. And despite this, in verse 31, it sticks out to me. It says this, yet many of the people believed in him. They're confused, who is this guy? And yet many still believed in him. We live a pretty easy life. Many of you are aware of this, but just let me remind you. We came in this morning and nobody was standing at the door saying, do you really want to follow Christ? Because if you go in there, I'm going to shoot you. We don't have that. We don't have much religious persecution at this point in time. Yes, I read articles about Bibles not being allowed in school, and that's some persecution. But really, there are some individuals who are on a cold, damp floor somewhere around our world that have been persecuted because they've stood for Jesus Christ. And we say, oh, somebody cursed at me this last week. I was persecuted for the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus was sent from God? I encourage you to believe in Christ. Are you one that puts your faith in Christ? Keep doing that. But they couldn't get to him because his time had not yet come. We're not sure if he just slipped through their hands or if he was miraculously delivered, but we do know what was in their hearts and what they were unable to do. In the verse 28 and 29, I get kind of confused. It's Jesus, you know me and you know where I come from, but I have not come on my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. We get kind of confused in all of that. But we know that Jesus came, and we know where he's at now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Number three, they were confused where he would go. We know where he was going. We have history on our side, but put yourself in these people's shoes when they're hearing this. Where? How can he go away? We need him. He's got to stay here. We want him. So then they say this in the verses 35. Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What's he saying here? For many years, the Jews had been scattered, whether forcibly removed, or they were willing to go. And because of that, there was a term called the diaspora, or the dispersion, that was to describe the Jews who lived outside of Palestine. They were wondering if he was going to go to them, or is he even go to the Greeks? And they were befuddled by that, because he was supposed to minister to who? He was supposed to minister to the Jews. And so, where are you going to? You can't go. You can't do that. And then in verse 36, he says, you will seek me and you will not find me. Again, this is confusing. Why is it confusing? Because we also know of other scriptures. Here's what it says in Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In Matthew, it says, seek and you shall find. But then Jesus says, you're going to seek me and you can't find me. Confusing. Here's what I think is happening. We are so temporal. Let me give you an example from our lives this last week. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you focused on snow this last week? And wind blowing. And forbid any of us to complain about a drift that we had to, shovel that was very high and hurt us or whatever. We're very temporal because we just got focused in on this snowstorm. Now, it was important to take care of those things. I understand that. But we get focused. And that's what these Jews were. They were focused. But then I want you to see verse 4, or number 4 that I have today. Jesus offers living water. Jesus offers to each of us living water. On the heels of this, and on the last day of the feast, notice his timing, he states verse 37. Here's what he says in verse 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, I think one translation says, out of his belly, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He's basically reiterating John 6:35 and saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I brought with me a little bit of pleasing noise. Go ahead and hit that, Ethan. This is just going to play for a little bit. Some of you would enjoy this, just out by a stream, a little warmer than what today is, of course. Living water that just flows. I brought this in today just for you to know what living water can just flow through you. Not stale and murky water. You've seen that. Algae-infested water. That's not the water we want. We want this fresh water. We all need water to live. But Jesus is claiming something different. Not physical water, but spiritual water. And he says this, there's water flowing through this. Think about this for just a second. Your earthen vessel called your body that you have your name attached to, Christ's living water can flow through you and bring life to others. That's an incredible thing. Why would God choose to do that? But he does. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You can stop it for a moment there, Ethan. I want you to catch something. There's a ceremony that happened that maybe Jesus uses as a background for the statement. See, each day people came with palms and willows to the temple, and they would form kind of a screen or a roof, and they would march around the altar. And the priest then would take a pitcher, and he would fill up with water. He would go to the pool of Siloam, and he would fill it with water. And then he would carry it through the water gate. And then he would recite Isaiah 12, verse 3, and would say, this is what 12:3 says in Isaiah. With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation. And the water was carried to the temple altar and poured out as an offering to God. And then they would give Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. They would sing it, the Hallel. And the worshipers would shout, and they would wave their palms toward the altar. And it was a ceremony that was done as an act of thanksgiving for God's gift of water in the wilderness, and acted as prayer for rain and the memory of the water coming from the rock. And the last day, they would do that 7 times, remembering Jericho. And here's what one commentator says. Against this background, and perhaps at that very moment, Jesus' voice rang out. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's as if Jesus said, you are thanking and glorifying God for the water which quenches the thirst of your bodies. Come to me if you want water which will quench the thirst of your soul. They would have understood this quite clearly. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 17, verse 6, behold, I will stand before you the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders, and it was very symbolic and powerful. They would remember back. Remember what God did when Moses struck the rock? How incredible was that? And water came from a rock. Hear me in this. You may think you're something, and I may think I'm something, but literally, we are pretty much like a rock. And when Christ gets a hold of our life, then streams of living water can flow through us. They would have known scriptures from Isaiah Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy, for waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Or Isaiah 55:1, come, all of you who thirst, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will always guide you. He will satisfy you in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. When was the time, and maybe it's now, you know that you need the streams of living water to pour through you? We're not just here physically, we're here spiritually, we have a soul. Jesus provides that living water. Hear this quote, it's rather lengthy, from Max Lucado. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus once said, let him come to me and drink. Admission of thirst doesn't come easy for us. False fountains pacify our cravings with sugary swallows of pleasure. But there comes a time when pleasure doesn't satisfy. There comes a dark hour in every life when the world caves in and we are left trapped in the rubble of reality, parched and dying. Some would rather die than admit it. Others admit it and escape death. God, I need help. So the thirsty come. A ragged lot we are, bound together by broken dreams and collapsed promises, fortunes that were never made, families that were never built, promises that were never kept. And we are very thirsty. Not thirsty for fame, possessions, passions, or romance. We've drunk from those pools. They are salt water in the desert. They don't quench, they kill. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness, that's it. That's what we're thirsty for. We're thirsty for a clean conscience. We crave a clean slate. We yearn for a fresh start. We pray for a hand which will enter the dark cavern of our world and do for us the one thing we can't do for ourselves. Make us right again. Thinking of the floodwaters in Nebraska and how they just move through. We come thirsty today. Drink deep of the Lord. I pondered this question as I was thinking about this message. It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And you saw that stream. And I asked this question of myself, and I asked this question of you. Do I ever stop the flow? Do I ever stop that from flowing because of my sin, because of my inconsistency? Do you do the same? And now number five, Jesus divides. Let me go back to the beginning. I believe Christ divides. When you believe and live according to Christ, you will have to divide yourselves from things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and that will divide you from others. It's interesting, this is not the only passage or the only verse in this gospel that talks about this. If you look over in 9 chapter 16, it says this, and there was a division among them. And if you look over in John chapter 10, verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. If you truly aim to live the Christian life, you are going to be divided from others. The scriptures say it a little differently. The scriptures say it this way. You are set apart. Here's the truth. You're different. And that's an okay thing. But it divides us. It divides what we do. It divides what we say. It divides what we think. There's a division that happens. When Christ and his living water flows through us, There's an automatic division that takes place. Some of you have seen this, even this week maybe you've seen this, or maybe you'll see it this coming week. Why are you such a goody two-shoes? It's not about being a goody two-shoes, two-shoes. It's about Christ living through me, and that divides me. It's a reality. You don't participate in coarse jokes because Christ doesn't like that. When his living water flows through you and every other guy in the room is talking about how bad their wife is, you don't do that. Why? Because you're divided. Because Christ's love flows through you. When everybody else is complaining, you say, praise be to God for his sustenance and his patience with me. It divides you. It divided them as well. Because they're like, who is this guy? And yet many people believed in him. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Each of us in this room are thirsty. Some of us are going to quench a thirst right now in just a couple of minutes and get a cup of coffee or a drink. I encourage you all this week when you drink, and some of you drink a lot, some of you don't drink enough, that you remember what Christ said when he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And when you drink of his living water, a division happens. And you go closer to the Lord. And all of those things that used to be fulfilling, at least you thought so, are not so fulfilling anymore because Christ is the one who fulfills you. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. May you not be confused by Jesus today. Know him. May you know Jesus today as the Messiah. May living waters flow through you this week and the coming month. And may others just see that. And there's a division that happens. And then they say, why? You say, because Christ's living water is flowing through me. When you say that, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be confusion. What? Christ's living water flows through you? Yes. And may you talk about Jesus' love and his living water through you. Would you stand with me today, please? I want to close this time. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe God's been speaking to you this morning, and maybe, as I mentioned in prayer time earlier, maybe you just need to hold your hands up and just ask for God's living water to flow through you. Oh God, as we raise our hands to you today, we are so unworthy vessels. But yet you say, if anyone's thirsty, and everyone here is, if anyone's thirsty, I will flow through him streams of living water. So God, I pray for each person that's within the sound of my voice today, that they would just let your living water flow through them this week. As they spend time with you, may you just instruct them ever so clearly and say, I want to flow through you. And God, we know when that happens, there'll be some division that happens. But yet, many can still believe. And so God, would you flow through me this week? Flow through my heart. Flow through my soul. Flow through my mind. And would you do that for everyone else? Would you flow through our lives that others would see that living water within us? And may you use these earthen vessels for your glory and for your purposes. Thank you, God, for your love today. May we honor you with all that we are, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.